I want to preach to you. A title of the sermon, Don't Throw Away Your Tomorrow. Don't throw away your tomorrow. Some years ago, Robert Schuller, now many of you may not know Robert Schuller, but he was an evangelist, a pastor with, I believe it was the Episcopal or Presbyterian Church, that started a church out in California, became a mega church over the years. He actually started in a drive-in theater. Some of you don't know what a drive-in theater is, but it was an outdoor cinema. And he actually rented this cinema and started evangelistic outreach, and that grew into one of the great cathedrals in on the West Coast. Robert Schuller was a pastor. He was also a motivational speaker. But he was traveling with one of his associates, and this associate was very close to him and helped him with the planning of the meetings. On the plane, the associate gave Robert Schuller the itinerary for the next day. There was about 3 pages, and there were several events that he had to go through, that he had to know that I'd be here at a certain time, there at a certain time. And when he had finished reviewing the page of the itinerary, he thought he had summarized it pretty well. He wadded it up, crimped it up, put it in the back seat of the plane to be thrown away. Immediately, his associate looked at him, and he reached for the sheet of paper, and he says, "Oh, Mr. Schuller, please don't throw away tomorrow." That is tomorrow's agenda. That is what we're going to do tomorrow. Don't throw that away. I want you to go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. We're going to talk about a group of people that God was taking into their tomorrow. He was leading them into their future. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and you know the story of Moses, found in Numbers, Exodus, bringing the Israelites into the promised land, leading them out of Egypt, brought them to the border of the promised land. They had a failure, a shortcoming, and they were forced to wander again for 40 years. That's the backdrop of this story. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, his assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead, as well as all the other generation of that time. That they had 40 years. They had wandered for 40 years until that generation had passed. God went on to say, now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. God had made a promise to Abraham. He had confirmed, reconfirmed that promise to Isaac. He had reconfirmed that promise to Jacob. That one time, at one time, there was a, when he called Abraham, he said, go to a land that I have given you, that I have promised to give you. Follow me. And he took Abraham out of the land of Ur and began to lead him on a journey to this promised land. And now if you go down to Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Joshua has been placed in charge. Moses has died. And now they're at the border. They're right back where they were 40 years ago. That's something to understand. Moses had brought the children of Israel from Egypt to the border of the promised land. There was a failure. Do you remember what the failure was? 10 spies went into the land. They came back. They persuaded the people they couldn't go into the land because it was the people were too strong. Israelites were too weak. They couldn't go in and take the land that God had promised with them. God became concerned. God saw that they were not ready, and they forced them to wander for another 40 years. until that generation had passed away. Even Moses died. Then Joshua became in charge. Now they're back in the same place at the same border. And early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, that was the box that had the holy articles in them, the rod of Aaron, the Ten Commandments. They had this was something that they carried with them as memory of God's promises. I believe they also carried with them the bones of Joseph. You remember that story when Joseph died? He says, "Preserve my bones, for when you leave, take me with you." They had faith that one day they were going to come out of Egypt and go into the promised land. He says, follow after, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. You will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. Now that right there is a sermon in itself, because they were to follow after the law of God. They were to follow after the memories of what God had done. They were to follow that, because without that as a guide, they wouldn't know where to go. There's a lot of truth in that today. The Word of God stands out as a guide for us. And we need to follow the Word of God. We don't know how to navigate this world, but the Word of God will help us to navigate it and learn what to do, where to go. It says, you've never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 200 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Then Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow you're going to walk into your future. Tomorrow you're going to see the promises. The sermon is to encourage you this morning, and to remind you not to throw away your tomorrow. Not to throw away your tomorrow. In this story, the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is about to be fulfilled. Finally, the promise is going to be fulfilled. Abraham lived and wandered and never saw that promise fulfilled. By faith, he received it. He never saw it physically. Isaac wandered in the wilderness and wandered around, never seeing that promise fulfilled. But by faith, he believed that they had a land promised to him by God. Jacob himself never saw that promise fulfilled. His children, Joseph being one of the youngest, never saw that promise fulfilled. But by faith, believed that they possessed the land. And they even, Joseph himself even said, take my bones with you when you go to possess the land. God is preparing in this story a new generation. This new generation is the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are getting ready to enter into their future. Tomorrow, the future begins. Tomorrow, God will do wonderful things. A new land, tomorrow. A new life, tomorrow. A new future, tomorrow. When preparing this, I was thinking, of course, I was with family. I've been with family, coming up here, being with family. We used to have our children do a little play called Annie. And they do a little imitation. We actually got that on video. Sometimes you have to ask Denny, have a family night here and let Denny show you that Annie video. But I reminded of the song from that. And I believe Annie sings this little song, and some of you may be familiar with it. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I stick out my chin and grin and say, the sun will come out tomorrow. So you got to hang on till tomorrow, come what may. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You remember that song? I can't say I have had somebody else put the music to that. But you'll always, tomorrow is always a day away. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're always a day away. In the Bible, we are told not to boast about tomorrow. But we are also told not to fear tomorrow. Sometimes people will miss their tomorrow and the promises that God has for them and that God has prepared for them because of fear. They will throw away their future. Tomorrow speaks to me of the future, the possibility for change, the hope for new opportunities. I like to be positive. If yesterday was bad and today was worse, then like the song says, I hope and expect tomorrow to be better. If I can pay a bill yesterday and today I received another bill that I can't pay, I will not lose hope. I expect God to provide tomorrow. I will pay the bill. Tomorrow offers hope. I envy people of other cultures, especially in Latin America, South America, Africa, India. I envy people in those cultures who are not bound by linear timelines. You know, in America, we're so time conscious. Everything has a time. Everything has to be done at a certain time, and we're so focused on time. But in other cultures, it's not like that always. If something is not completed yesterday and is still not finished today, well, there is always tomorrow. In Spanish, it's mañana. In Lingala, we spoke in Africa, it's lobi. Everything is mañana. Everything is lobi. Everything is tomorrow. We can do it tomorrow. Never get excited. Never get frustrated. There's always tomorrow. Tomorrow is something to look forward to. Anticipation of positive future events. Some people throw away their tomorrow through worry, not only through fear of what tomorrow may bring or fear of what's happening today, but they worry about what happened yesterday. They worry about what happened today, and they lose their tomorrow. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry. God has it under control." Others will allow that fear that I spoke about to rob them of the future that God has planned. We are told in God's word that fear is not of God. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "The Spirit of God does not make us timid, does not make us afraid, but gives us the power of love and self-discipline." There are those who throw away their tomorrow and the plans God has for them because of past events. Shame, inferiority, insecurity, low self-esteem, and regret. They have so many regrets that overwhelm them that they lose hope of tomorrow. It denies them a future, a tomorrow. In 1 Peter 1:8, the apostle says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors." God gave his son, the most precious thing, to die on a cross for us. We are not invaluable. We have worth. We matter to God. We are important to God. We are the apple of God's eye. And for people to feel like they're unworthy, that people to feel like a regret or let shame or the past overwhelm them, it is totally against God's word. Because when God forgives, God forgets, and God has established us to let us know, he has told us that we are his children. And he cares about us. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is come. The old has gone. The new is here. And all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. It is not right for anyone to have low self-esteem of what they are or who they are in Christ. God made it possible for us to be right with him through Jesus Christ. He loved us enough to do that. He loved us enough so that his son, and as the song said, when we remember, we sometimes question, for whatever reason, what was the reason? If I would have been the only reason, Jesus would have still died. You think about that for a moment. I never want to stop living in the hope of tomorrow. Tomorrow holds all the potentials that today has lost. Now that's a quotable quote, it's not original. Tomorrow holds all the potentials that today has lost. Now let me take you back to Joshua chapter 3. The next generation has arrived at the border of Canaan. The previous generation of Israelites, under Moses' leadership, had been at this same place 40 years earlier. You can read about it in Numbers, Numbers 13 and 14. One might say the ancestors of this new generation was at the border of the promised land yesterday, 40 years ago yesterday. At that time, they looked back of how it was in Egypt. They looked back at least they had food to eat in Egypt. And they said, we want to go back to Egypt. They worried about entering the promised land because there were giants, there were obstacles, there was large cities. Their today was listening to the report of the 8 spies and worrying that they could not possess the land. They were too small, too unprepared, too weak in their own words. They spoke of how they considered themselves like grasshoppers. Their today was filled with worry, fear, uncertainty, and regret, and a distrust of God. They threw away their tomorrow to live in yesterday as slaves. They threw away their future in the promised land. For the next 40 years, that generation wandered in a desert land until every last one of them died. God is now calling Joshua and the Israelites into their tomorrow. A tomorrow for this new generation who was actually going to possess the promises tomorrow. They had obstacles today. They had the river Jordan. They had opposition. They had questions. There was a lot going on today, but tomorrow they were going to possess the promised land. For this new generation, their tomorrow held a future. Their tomorrow held promises made by God. They would not be turned back by memories of yesterday, worrying or by fear or by underestimating the power of God. They would not look back. God is speaking to the Israelites about their tomorrow. He tells them, put away the past. Get ready for the future. Trust God. Follow him. He will lead them. And lead them he did. He took them across the Jordan River, which at that time was in flood stage. He brought them to a fortified city and broke down the walls so they possessed the city without ever raising a weapon. The city, the land, were theirs. They were instructed first to concentrate themselves to God. Then God was to do wonderful things for them. He would take them into their tomorrow, the future. He had planned for them, and he had promised them that he would go with them, and he never would forsake them. What does it mean when God tells them to consecrate themselves? What does consecration mean? The idea of consecration is to be separated, to be dedicated, thoroughly committed, and set apart to God. The Bible refers to God often as a jealous God. God wants our attention. He wants us. He wants to be the only thing in our life that is worshiped. The only thing in our life that matters more than anything else is God. Romans 12, Paul tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And in 1 Corinthians 6, the apostle tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's another thing we need to hear more of. That's another thing we could preach on. Our body is the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit. And what do we do with our body? What do we do with our body? The Word tells us that God wants us to glorify Him in our body and in our spirit. Today, a prayer of consecration might be like this. I present my body to Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice. I present the members of my body to Jesus Christ as instruments of righteousness. My body has been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and it belongs to Him. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not sure we can study more about the society and the culture of the Israelites during the time of Joshua's leadership, but I am sure about the world we are living in today and the culture that we are living in today. We are living in a world where people diminish the value of relationships and commitment. We are living in a world today where moral values and living like Jesus are taking a backseat to current cultural trends, political manipulations, and a determined, liberal focus, demonic, if you will, demonic focus of destroying the family unit as God established it. There's a concerted effort in the world today to destroy the family. The new generation, as we read about in Joshua 3, under Joshua's leadership, were asked to separate themselves to God and follow Him. Separate yourself to God, Joshua said, and follow Him. Serve only Him. Obey Him. Follow His word, His teaching, and His laws. That's what the Ark of the Covenant represented. When you followed, when they told them, follow the ark because you don't know where you're going, He was saying, serve God, obey Him, follow His word, follow His teaching, follow His laws. After concentrating themselves to God, the people were to follow the ark and the Levitical priests. They were the religious leaders. The river was normally a small river, not very dangerous. But at this time, it was in flood stage and possibly almost a mile wide. But this new generation had hope for tomorrow. Remember what Joshua said? He told the priest to go down to the river's edge. And when they put their feet in the water, then the waters would part and the people could walk across on dry land. I want to put yourself in the shoes of the priest for just a moment. Think about it. Okay? You don't swim. Swimming wasn't a recreation for the Israelites at that time. So you got a raging river out there, almost a mile wide. And Pastor Dennis comes up to you and says, hey, look, all you have to do is go up there and put your foot in the water. Water's going to part. You just walk on across. I'll stay back here and watch you, okay? Why me, Joshua? Why don't you do it? No, God said you do it. And as soon as they put their feet in the water, as soon as they obeyed God, as soon as they marched down there, as soon as they stepped into the waters parted, and they walked across on dry land. This new generation, under the leadership of Joshua, had hope for tomorrow. They wasn't going to throw away their tomorrow for a little river. They knew what their yesterday had been like. They had seen what their ancestors had done. They remembered as children walking in the wilderness. They remembered the mistakes of their ancestors and their 40 years. They believed that God would go with them, would be with them, and He would make a way where there was no way. They were not going to allow the mistakes of yesterday nor the struggles of today to rob them of their tomorrow. Today they were preparing for their tomorrow. God was telling them to get ready for the future. Trust God. Follow Him. He will lead them. And lead them He did. He took them across the river. He brought them to a fortified city. And they possessed the land. I want to ask you and pray with each of you that you will not throw away your tomorrow because of something that's happened in the past, because of events of today. Don't take your eyes off the future that God has for you. God has some wonderful things for you. Tomorrow holds all the potentials that yesterday has lost. As we get older, we have a greater regret of past mistakes. As we get older, we remember things that could have been different had we done things differently. I said two or three times yesterday as I was talking with other family members, if I would only have known yesterday what I know today. How many times have we said that? The older we get, the more we repeat that. Put the past behind us. Live for eternity. That young people, listen to me. Live for eternity. Don't live for the temporary. Everything about this world is temporary. The new fads, the new shoes, the new clothes, the new styles, the new music. It'll all go away. Look, I see my grandson Dennis. He comes in with, we used to call these, Denny, peg pants. You know? Papaw wore them. Hey, yeah, Papaw wore them. Fact is, I couldn't afford them because they were more expensive because they were in style. So I had to buy the wide leg pants, and then I had my mother cut the strip out and sew them together so they would be peg pants. So they'd be tighter. Anybody else remember that? Remember the tight ankle pants we used to wear? Yeah. Sure we did. See, it all changes. It'll all come back around. And yet we put so much emphasis on it. Kids die for a new style of tennis shoes. Kids will kill another kid on the street for a shirt or a sweater that has a brand name on it. This world is crazy. It's temporary. It's not going to last. And we are raising our children, and we're raising a generation of people that invest in the temporary and forget about eternity. We are more concerned with today than we are with tomorrow. And people are losing their tomorrow. People are losing their future. God said, concentrate yourself and make a commitment to God. I don't want to embarrass my grandson and his fiancée, but we're here. We're here because of them, some of us, because we celebrate. We want to celebrate this upcoming wedding. And they're getting ready to plan a future together. Much prayer has been made for them. And soon, in just a few weeks, few months, they will stand before family and friends, and they will consecrate themselves to one another. They will take vows of consecration. They will set themselves apart for one another. They will make a commitment to not let anything or anyone separate them from one another. They will commit to each other their love, their hearts, and their bodies. And you just watch what happens if anything comes between them. Brent, you're spending too many hours at work. You need to spend more hours at home. I'm a little bit jealous of you being at work so much. Annie, you've been spending too much time with your family. Your family's not more important than me. I'm your husband. I'm a little bit jealous that you're spending so much time with you. You need to spend more time with me. I'm the one you're committed to. I'm the one that you set yourself apart for. It goes vice versa. You understand? God has used marriage forever to illustrate his relationship with the church. You see, God wants us to be committed. He don't want anything, anybody, or any event to come between him and us. Just like a married couple. Money, work, events. Don't want nothing to come between them. They are making a commitment that nothing will. That nothing will. They are consecrated. They'll put away all the other girlfriends, all the other boyfriends, and whether they're love relationship, they're just friends. They will put, none of them are as important as my relationship right now with my spouse. You see, that's the way it is with God. God wants us to consecrate ourselves to him. He was telling the people of Israel, he was telling this new generation to commit themselves to him, consecrate him, and he can take them into the promised land. They did, and he did. God has called each of us as believers to be followers, as followers of Christ, to make the same kind of commitment to him. God has promised to lead us and never forsake us. Our preparation today involves consecrating ourselves to God and following God wherever he leads us without fear, worry, or self-doubt. Our preparation for tomorrow involves preparing today. Someone has said that many people spend more time today trying to repair yesterday than to prepare for the future. They're trying to fix yesterday, or they're trying to make today right, and they forget about tomorrow. Don't throw away your tomorrow for today. Don't throw away your tomorrow for yesterday. Broken, confused, struggling, not only with yesterday's, but also with today's. Jesus said, come to me, and I will not cast you aside. In Matthew 11:28, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I met a lady Wednesday night. While we're home, when we're home in the States, we have a church in Branson, Missouri, that has asked us to help them because I've done street ministry, because I've worked with drug addicts and street people. They wanted us to come down and they're more interested in us sharing some of our experiences and encouraging them than actually involved with actually doing things. But they do let us do things every once in a while and go out and minister on the street, minister. You're surprised at about how much drug addiction, trafficking, money laundering takes place in the all-American city of Branson, Missouri. It exists. But Wednesday night, I met a lady, and she shared a testimony. It was powerful. 2 years ago, she got saved in prison. She was released from prison and had been fighting the court case that put her there ever since that time, for 2 years. The case, her prison time, was for possession of narcotics and possession of a firearm. And she was, and she used the term, a prior and persistent, which means she's a multiple offender. She had been in a lot of trouble. Odds were that in this trial date that she had to solve the case or resolve the case, odds were that the judge was going to send her back to prison. But she testified that the Lord showed her favor and released her to probation. Now, for 2 years, she had been attending this church. For 2 years, she had been attending this ministry called Restoration Connection. For 2 years, the judge and the officials had been watching her life. She had fought this case for 2 years, but during that 2 years, she had legitimately been saved in prison, got involved in a ministry, and was working there to help others. And this played a tremendous part in the judge's decision. She was released to probation, and she has been in Restoration Connection, serving with the ministry there, faithfully worshiping God with a portion of her small income. This is another thing she testified to, that she would work the 2 years after she got out of prison. She got a small job. She had some income. But every time she would come in, she would worship God with her giving. She felt that was a way to just express to God her love for him, was to give him a portion. Now, whether you want to call it a tithe, or whether you want to call it generous giving, or whatever it is, she considered it an opportunity to give to God and worship him. When she went to court the other day, the judge did put her on probation. And not only that, after she come out of court, she was notified by a company that some money that she was long overdue was going to be given to her. And one of the first things that she said after she got that money was, now I can get my children back. And I can do something for her children. And her testimony that night was that God had restored her. She is on probation. She's serving God. She's involved in the church. She's got her family back. And she's got a home. You see, that's what God will do. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about yesterday. God's got a future for you. Don't worry about today. What's happening today? Get ready. Use it to prepare for tomorrow. For tomorrow, you'll walk into your future. He cares about you. Don't throw away your tomorrow. Give him a chance. Give God a chance. Trust him. I know some of you, I could share with you, I could talk to you about our lives, what we've done in the past, how mistakes that we have made. And I would say if we were struggling, I would just, you know, offer this advice. I've seen what my yesterdays have been like. I've experienced and know what I can do because I've seen what I've done. And I would say now it's time to give God an opportunity to show what he can do. So I would say the same thing to you. You've seen what your yesterdays have been like. You've experienced those. You know what you can do. Now how about giving God a chance to see what he can do? If you'd like to make a commitment this morning to give your tomorrows to God and accept your future for his life, for your life, I will pray with you. I will agree with you. I am here. Pastor Dennis is here. Van is here. Jenny's here. We'll pray with you. We'll stand and pray with you because God has some wonderful things planned for your life. Jeremiah 29 says, plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So don't throw away your tomorrow. Use today to prepare for the future God has for you. He's laid out a plan for you. I don't care where you're at in your life. You're in your twilight years. You're in your final years. You're in your beginning years. We got all stages here. We got children, young people entering into junior high school. That's a life transition. We got junior high students going into high school. That's a life transition. We got high school students going into university. That's a life transition. We got university students getting ready to go into the professional world. That's a life transition. We got young graduates from university getting ready to be married and enter into their future. That's a life transition. We got people that are just starting to work. That's a life transition. We got people just ending their work period. That's a life transition. We got people that are wanting to retire and people that are retiring. We got people that are preparing for the end when they'll be promoted to glory. That's a life transition. Wherever stage you're in, whatever you are going through right now, remember that God has some wonderful things for you. And don't give it up. Don't be like the Israelites under Moses' leadership who traded their tomorrow, who traded in their tomorrow for the past, for yesterday, who on today, while they were there at the border, they traded their tomorrow for yesterday. Don't be like them. Don't lose your tomorrow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to share and talk about the future that you have for us. We have young people here that are have their whole future ahead of them, young adults who have their future ahead of them. I pray, God, that they will not be caught up with the temporary things of this world. We have older adults who are preparing for, you know, they've given their all to this world, and now they're preparing to relax. Don't let us think today's relaxing and give up our tomorrow so we can relax for today. God, encourage us and remind us of the importance of following you, consecrating ourselves to you, never giving up, and keeping our eyes focused on the future. And thank you for the privilege and honor of speaking not only to my family this morning, but to this beautiful family of God that has been so faithful to pray for us, to care for us, and to financially support the ministry over all these years. We just thank you so much, God, for this time. In Jesus' name. Why don't you stand with me for just a moment before Pastor comes? And I don't know, maybe there's someone here, feel like God is speaking to you about tomorrow, and you're worried about today. Maybe there's some things about yesterday that's holding you back. And you just say, Pastor Dennis, Uncle Dennis, Papaw, Brother Dennis, I need prayer. I want you to pray for me. I want you to just pray that God will help me to not take my eyes off the future and not take my eyes off of tomorrow. Would anybody just raise your hand and say, I need that prayer? Anybody at all? Before I turn it over to Denny? Father, thank you. Thank you for reminding us of the value of tomorrow. And bless us now as we leave this place and go out into the world. And God, use us to remind other people that there is hope and that God has a future for them. In Jesus' name, amen.